support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. They aren't affected by tariffs because their clothing products never left the U.S. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Ever get the feeling you're being watched online? It's data brokers. They collect your personal info, your browsing habits, where you live, and who you're related to, and then sell it to the highest bidder. Aura helps stop that. Aura automatically removes your personal info from data broker sites and keeps it off. It also monitors the dark web, protects your devices, alerts you to real-time threats, and more. Start your free trial at aura.com/listen. That's aura.com/listen for your free trial.
A factual data creation facility production.
Recorded live, but not in front of a studio audience. Unless you'd consider an Amazon Echo one. It's the OFNT Podcast. Now here's your host, an old man trying to stay relevant in an increasingly irrelevant world, Jim Schaefer.
Welcome to episode 274, which I'm calling Broken Speaker and Defective Interface. Yeah, things seem to be breaking around here. Everything but tech news. Google switches chip maker. Ads are coming to a very popular messaging app. And iPhone sales rebound. Thanks to an oft-criticized hero device. And Apple shareholders are very mad. And more in this episode. So let's get things rolling on this hot summer evening. Aw, yeah.
3, 2, 1.
Tech news. Well, it's still kind of quiet in the world of tech. This after a quieter than normal WWDC. I guess being that summer is upon us, all the tech companies are on a hiatus. There was some Android news items. But the only thing that I currently have that runs Android is my Peloton Connected Fitness Indoor Cycle.
Please, we heard enough about Peloton last week.
And the version of Android that runs on it is both heavily modified and outdated.
Yes.
Okay, message received. I shan't be mentioning Peloton again. Oh, just so you know, I had my fingers crossed when I just said that.
Oh, great. Let me grab my pillow.
You do that. I'm really leaning towards purchasing a near-high-end Pixel phone, just so I can put Android through its paces. I wouldn't bother getting a SIM for it. I'd just run it on Wi-Fi. Well, we'll see. Report. Google's switch to TSMC for Pixel 10 chip was a shock and wake-up call for Samsung, unquote. And that's the headline from an article on 925google.com. Last week, or maybe even a couple of weeks back, Google reported that the company's in-house designed Tensor chip will now be manufactured by Taiwan's TSMC. Previously, Samsung was the Tensor chip's manufacturer.
Yes, I think the headline you just read has already established that.
Oh boy. You know, I think I've heard enough from the peanut gallery already this episode.
You know, according to TikTok, the term peanut gallery is considered racist.
And that's just one of the many reasons why I refuse to use TikTok. Now back to what I was saying. I don't recall if I reported on this Tensor manufacturer switch or not in previous episodes. These days, I'm lucky to remember what day of the week it is. I do know that Google, as well as many of the Pixel phone owners out there, are not satisfied with the performance of the Tensor chip, no matter how good the specs appeared on paper. Next year's Tensor G5 will be the first to be manufactured by TSMC. Google joins Qualcomm, MediaTek, and Apple on the list of customers who utilize TSMC for the manufacture of their chips. The reasons for the switch from Samsung are higher yields from TSMC and Samsung's lack of design assets. Gee, I remember when Samsung's Exynos chips were the envy of the Android world.
Hey, no back-in-the-day effect?
Nah, I'm giving that whole thing a rest. Even Exynos chips are having problems according to users these days, and at least that's what I've been hearing. The losing of Google as a customer has made Samsung conduct an internal inspection in order to analyze its situation. While the upcoming Pixel 10 will have a TSMC-made CPU, its modem will still be manufactured by Samsung. Samsung should study the downfall of Intel, who were once the king of chip foundries. In Intel's case, complacency and greed were the main culprits in their downfall. As I've said before on this show, I've had a history with the WhatsApp Messenger app. Back when telcos used to charge for text messages, a small startup released WhatsApp to solve this problem by allowing unlimited messages. Not only did they release the app for iOS and Android, they had versions for BlackBerry OS, Symbian,
what?
And even Windows Phone.
Wow!
At that time, I was a heavily invested Symbian user and was very surprised and grateful that WhatsApp even bothered releasing a version for that mobile operating system. So I emailed the company in order to thank them. To my surprise, Jan Koum, one of the co-founders of WhatsApp, actually replied to me, stating that it wasn't a problem. Back then, WhatsApp provided the first year gratis, then charged 99 cents per year thereafter, though that was never really enforced. The idea here was for WhatsApp to remain ad-free. Well, in 2014, Facebook, now called Meta, purchased WhatsApp for $19 billion. This led many users of WhatsApp to move on to another messaging app. Well, I was one of them moving over to Telegram. I've never considered going back to WhatsApp since. Besides privacy concerns, many figured it was only a matter of time before advertisements reared their ugly heads on WhatsApp. Surprisingly, this hasn't been the case. Until now. According to another article from 9to5google.com, WhatsApp will start getting ads shortly. Meta has recently added channels to WhatsApp, a la Telegram. Channels allows creators and businesses to better inform their audiences on upcoming events and such. Channels now allow their owners to offer subscriptions and to pay Meta in order to advertise said channels. For now, Meta says these changes will not affect the chat section of WhatsApp. Well, I'm of the opinion that this development is nothing but a trial balloon for what will become full-blown advertising on the WhatsApp platform. Do you still use WhatsApp? Do you think you'll be seeing ads everywhere eventually? Well, looky here. After months of falling iPhone sales in China and the rest of the world, MacRumors.com is reporting that, according to Counterpoint Research, iPhone sales in China alone have jumped 15% in the last 2 months.
Whoa!
This has enabled Apple to reclaim the top spot in China after being displaced by government-favorite Huawei and other local brands. What's changed? Well, the much-maligned, mostly by the tech press, release of the iPhone 16e.
What?
Yeah, it seems the 16e has gained popularity, especially in Asia, for two reasons. First, it's cheaper price. Note that I didn't say cheap price. I said cheaper price. By no means would I consider $600 being cheap. But in comparison to regular iPhone prices, well, it's a kind of a bargain. The second factor for this resurgence is the 16e's smaller form factor. Not everyone wants a huge camera-laden phone. You can count me amongst that group. These old Ford Eyes I'm currently equipped with do appreciate larger screens. But after I retired from working life, my needs have changed. I find myself in front of screens which measure between 13 to 26 inches these days. These sizes are what my iPad and computers are equipped with. Now I've been flirting with the idea of an ultra-thin iPhone Air, or whatever it'll be called. But I'm leaning towards something like an iPhone 16e, actually. However, I refuse to give up the dynamic island and go back to a notch. The dynamic island is actually useful and, let's face it, it looks real cool. So when the E-series of phones gets that dynamic island, well, then I'll switch to one of those models. I guess it can be said that Apple really did know what it was doing when releasing the iPhone 16e. despite the naysayers of the tech press dismissing this model upon its announcement. Does anybody remember the iPhone XR? This model was released along with the iPhone XS and XS Max back in 2018. The XS had but one camera around back and was lacking some of the features of its more expensive stablemates. It too was written off by the tech press at the time. The only outlet I remember predicting success for the XR was the FPT YouTube channel. Speaking of which, what happened to FPT? We're lucky if the channel drops one video per month. But I digress. I bought an XR for my daughter Jessica.
Hey Jess.
Back in November of 2018. And she had that phone until it was stolen from her earlier this year. She loved that phone. Guess what? She'll be getting an iPhone 16e from me later this year to replace it. I predict the iPhone 16e will be the best-selling iPhone model of this year. Hey, remember back during 2024's WWDC when Apple demonstrated the new Siri?
Oh, yes.
No.
And remember all those great features it had?
Yes.
No.
Well, I sure do. And I also remember that we're still waiting for those promised features to materialize. And so are a bunch of Apple shareholders who, according to AppleInsider.com, have decided to sue the giant fruit company over these delays and the bunch of money they think they have lost because of them. These shareholders are claiming that this delay in Siri features have cost them almost $1 trillion.
Come on, almost $1 trillion?
That's what they're claiming. They also claim that Apple downplayed how long it would need to launch this new and improved Siri. For proof of this loss of revenue, the lawsuit points to a study by Reuters that claims Apple's shares have lost nearly a quarter of their value since their December of 2024 record high, which wiped out an estimated $900 billion in market value.
Geez, that's a lot of piastres.
You got that right. The shareholders also claimed that Apple led them to believe that Apple Intelligence would be the driving force behind the iPhone 16 lineup. While some of the AI features eventually showed up, the star of the show, Siri, is still the same useless digital assistant it has been for years now. That was a bit harsh, right?
Yes.
In this case, deservedly so. The new guesstimate for the supercharged series appearance is the end of 2026.
What?
Well, I'm no lawyer.
And you haven't played one on television either.
That's true. But I think these shareholders have a good point.
Yes.
Who would have thought that the lower-priced iPhone 16e would be the lone bright spot for Apple this year? Apple has appeared to have pulled a recent ad for Mac computers from its YouTube channel after airing it for but one day.
Ouch!
The ad was titled The Parent Presentation, and its header was, "Convince your parents to get you a Mac." It was aimed towards young adults getting ready to enter college and, like its header, wanted them to pressure their parents into buying them a Mac for college.
Oh, what could go wrong with that?
As you'll see, plenty. The reaction from the target demographic of this ad on social media ranged from gross to cringe. While many college students would be served well using a Mac for school, many are gamers and the Mac just can't compare to a PC in that regard. Another thing, Windows and PCs rule the corporate and government world, so these youngsters would be better prepared for that once they leave those vaunted Ivy Halls by having the experience of using PCs for work. In this case, homework. In my opinion, if funds allow, you should send your child to college armed with a Windows PC and an iPad Air. They can get used to using Microsoft apps with the PC and be able to use them on the iPad with Microsoft 365. The iPad would be ideal to drag to class for note-taking and looking up things.
What do you really know? You're just an old guy with a microphone that hasn't had a child enrolled in college for over 7 years.
Well, there's that. And finally, for the tech news section, when tvOS rolls out for Apple TV streaming boxes this autumn...
That season is usually referred to as fall in these parts.
Whatever. Depending on what model you have, you might not get all of the features. The only models that will be getting the liquid glass design...
It's gorgeous.
So I've been told... is the second and third generation of the TV 4K box. The, in my opinion, useless phone karaoke mode will only be available on the TV 4K third generation. So no liquid glass or karaoke for anyone still using an older Apple TV streaming box. Tech I'm using. After finally receiving my new LG television shortly after last Christmas, I decided to add a soundbar to it. I stuck with the LG brand, despite my not-too-good experience with the delivery of my television, and purchased an LG S70TY soundbar, complete with Bluetooth subwoofer. I've been pretty satisfied with it, though some of the features I thought I was getting with it weren't compatible with my model of television. Thursday evening, I turned on my TV and started watching the television series Your Friends and Neighbors on Apple TV+. A few minutes in, I noticed the audio sounded a bit thin, so I went into the settings of both my television and soundbar, and all settings were as I had set them previously. That's when I noticed that the small LED light on the front of the subwoofer wasn't green as it should be. Worse yet, it wasn't red either. It should have been one or the other. Green meaning that it was paired with my soundbar, or red meaning that it wasn't. No LED light would mean that the speaker was receiving no power at all. I pushed the pairing button, unplugged the unit, waited for 10 seconds, plugged it back in, and nothing changed. I called LG customer service, rather I started a chat with him, which is LG's preferred method, knowing that my soundbar set was still under warranty. I figured they'd just send me a new subwoofer and I'd just have to send the broken one back to them. Easy peasy, right?
Wrong.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Well, no. They wanted me to send both the soundbar and the woofer back to them for repair.
What the hell?
My reaction exactly. I informed the agent that I no longer had the original packaging for the product and suggested at the very least I send back the subwoofer for the repair, not the whole soundbar. I really don't know if that sunk in with the agent. All I know is that she did authorize a return for repair and that I should be receiving the authorization soon via snail mail. Before I could clarify things, the chat was disconnected. In the meantime, I looked on Amazon for a replacement for the subwoofer, but it seems they are only sold with the soundbar. The soundbar and subwoofer set is over $100 more expensive these days, too. I guess Monday I'll call and actually speak to a customer service rep and see what can be done, if anything. I've also been looking on Amazon for a non-LG branded subwoofer in the event that I can't get a replacement from LG themselves. So far, I haven't found any Bluetooth subwoofers to replace the LG one. Now, in the old days, I would have had the option to take that broken subwoofer to a electronics repair place. But alas, that option does not exist anymore. At least where I'm currently residing.
Aww.
Or me. In good news, I've been using the new indoor cycling shoes I purchased and received last week from Amazon. I know. The fit of the shoes is very comfortable and the breathability is great, as promised. Because of that, I find that I can cycle longer than I could before. A 45-minute ride using the expensive Peloton shoes was painful, with my feet sweating profusely. Not so with these new shoes. My only concern with them is durability. Hopefully, I can get at least a year out of them. In the winter, I'll probably alternate between the Peloton and these new cycling shoes. But for now, I'll be using these new ones exclusively. I'm testing out the DuckDuckGo browser on my iPhone. I've decided to do this because DuckDuckGo has just added some more privacy and cybersecurity protections. I'll probably try this browser on my Mac Mini setup also. Once I get some experience using it, I'll give you an update.
Ever get the feeling you're being watched online? It's data brokers. They collect your personal info, your browsing habits, where you live, and who you're related to, and then sell it to the highest bidder. Aura helps stop that. Aura automatically removes your personal info from data broker sites and keeps it off. It also monitors the dark web, protects your devices, alerts you to real-time threats, and more. Start your free trial at aura.com/listen. That's aura.com/listen for your free trial.
Entertainment news. Following last week's story about Amazon Prime Video doubling the amount of ads on the service, it has been discovered that the ad-supported version of the Max streaming service, which is soon to become HBO Max once again, has done the same. The difference here being that consumers pay for Amazon Prime Video, which was ad-free when they first started doing so, while Max launched with a cheaper ad-supported tier. Yeah, I know I could pay Amazon like $4 extra per month for Prime Video to be ad-free, but I can't justify that expense. That's because I seldom find myself watching anything on it. I subscribe to Max Premium, so this increase in the amount of ads doesn't really affect me. But man, these increases in advertisements are really getting out of hand lately.
Yes! Yes!
Today's New York Yankees baseball game, which started at 11:35 in the morning for some reason, was broadcast on the Roku channel. And that's a first for them, I think. The Roku channel comes with all Roku-branded streaming boxes, streaming sticks, and televisions. I feel Roku did a better job than other streaming services have, especially Apple, whose announcers are, in my opinion, terrible. As for the earlier-than-usual start of the game, I'd guess that was for the benefit of overseas viewers. It's a good start for Roku, and it's nice to see the MLB spreading out to more outlets. Oh, and by the way, the Yankees won! I just started getting into the series Murderbot on Apple TV+. Now, the first episode was okay, but the following episodes keep getting better. The show is a sci-fi-based dark comedy, and it's done well. I recommend it. Next month sees the return of many television series that I follow, like Apple Plus's Foundation. You know, Apple Plus has really stepped up their game this year, and I find myself watching that service more and more these days. My second favorite streaming service is Paramount Plus, which is kind of in a summer lull, but will pick up in September. Prime Video has a spin-off of the Bosch series starring Maggie Q of La Femme Nikita fame. I have high hopes for this show, and Maggie Q is easy on the eyes. Well, at least she was. I hope that smoking and those other bad habits that she's known for haven't caught up with her. Another streaming service I used to enjoy was MGM Plus, but they like to cancel series I'm heavily invested in. I might resubscribe to MGM Plus when the show From starts up again in late September. Currently, The Godfather of Harlem is playing, but why subscribe if that's the only thing that I'll watch on the service? Come September, I'll have at least three shows to watch on MGM Plus, Hotel Cocaine being the third one. Netflix is our go-to service when there's nothing else we want to watch. Its huge library is the only reason I keep Netflix around. YouTube continues to be the service the old fart household watches the most. Podcast news. In the last episode, I told of having to abort the first guest slot ever on this podcast because of the problems with my Kinect 6 audio interface. The problem I had with it was that the mobile phone connection, which is hardwired, not Bluetooth, keeps dropping out. I've tried using different USB-C cables to no avail. For a brief shining moment, I thought I had solved the problem. My internet connection drops out every once in a while. Yeah, not enough to affect any streaming, but it still happens. I thought this might have been the problem. The mobile connection to the interface requires internet service when first connecting, then once it does, cell service is sufficient. So I tried turning off my phone's internet as soon as I had a connection to the interface. This seemed to work, until it didn't. After a minute or so, the connection dropped once again. It would re-establish connection after a few seconds, only to again drop. This made it unusable. I haven't heard from Lewitt, who's the manufacturer of the audio interface, so I sent them a follow-up email. And I still haven't heard from them. With customer service like this, I'm glad I never bought any of their highly regarded microphones. This connection problem might be a software issue. Lewitt's control software hasn't been updated in quite some time. This has me thinking that the company has given up on the Kinect 6, which is a shame. The audio interface was ahead of its time, with features only available with much more expensive gear. Speaking of which, I'm in the process of researching the Rode Rodecaster Duo audio interface. It's almost twice as expensive as the Kinect 6, but I believe it has Bluetooth capability. I know the Duo has problems of its own, but it might be the most affordable alternative to the Lewitt. In order to take the OFNT podcast to the next level, I need that mobile phone connection. Well, Cast-O-Matic is officially my Podcasting 2.0 compliant podcast listening app. The developer has added the Lit feature, which lets you know when a podcast is streaming live. My last complaint with Cast-O-Matic is the app's horrendous CarPlay performance. It just doesn't want to play nice with it. The best app I've found for CarPlay is Amazon Music. For general podcast listening, OG app Pocket Cast is my favorite, but the price of having all of its features keeps increasing every year. Metacast is a new app which showed promise when first released, but updates have come at a snail's pace, and I'll be getting rid of the app once my subscription expires later this year. Listeners to the OFNT podcast tend to do so using the Chrome web browser on Windows PCs. Up second is Unknown, which are probably podcasting 2.0 apps. Third is Castro, which was given new life by its new owners. Fourth is the Safari web browser, with Pocket Cast being fifth. Windows OS is the most popular listening OS for this podcast, and iOS is second. Unknown is third. Android comes in fourth, with Mac OS bringing up the rear. Now, what does this all mean?
I don't know.
Unfortunately, neither do I. While the music is playing on this pre-heatwave evening in the mountains of Tennessee, of course, this signals the beginning of the end of another episode of the OFNT podcast. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed making it for you. If you like what you heard, well, you can make a donation using the link in the show notes. Any and all donations will be greatly appreciated and will go right back into the show. You can always reach me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com. And that's only if you're so inclined. I'd enjoy hearing from you. Remember, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. Still here? Well, stop your lingering and get off my lawn. Stay skeptical. I'm out.
See ya.
And that, folks, is the end of the show.
Ever get the feeling you're being watched online? It's data brokers. They collect your personal info, your browsing habits, where you live, and who you're related to, and then sell it to the highest bidder. Aura helps stop that. Aura automatically removes your personal info from data broker sites and keeps it off. It also monitors the dark web, protects your devices, alerts you to real-time threats, and more. Start your free trial at aura.com/listen. That's aura.com/listen for your free trial.